E1. Number 11B.
One is always helped, as we said also in the law of science itself, by adding really the rule of thumb, which would say the negative part of it, namely, therefore, what it is not doing. So, say, if we see, and I start again with mind and just discuss with you the implications of it, if we see that mind, and when I say mind, see, one has that whole sense of that world mind, that mind which has the infinite primordial conception of itself, that infinite information tank or data bank, which knows everything, which knows all, which is the all-in-all knowing information bank. So out of that one divine mind, mind manifests itself. And you can just feel that mind does not manifest itself out of. And now you can have a negative. Therefore, mind does not manifest itself out of what? Out of my human thinking. Gives a tremendous sense that with my thinking, I'm not going to make mind manifest itself. So that in treatment, I am quite aware that through thinking, I cannot make mind manifest itself out of itself. Or that mind only manifests itself because the human mind, my thinking, my mental attitude is the source or origin of mind's manifestation of itself. Can you see what is implied by just simply stating that mind manifests itself out of itself and out of the whole of mind? Therefore, not out of human thinking. And you come to the second phase of the Christ, that mind manifests itself through the channel. Through what? Through the whole of mind itself. Through the whole of mind. Therefore, not through what? Not through what? What would be a wrong channel, huh? Not through the human mind, huh? Not through our brain, not through the channel of our treatment, not through the channel of our thinking, not through the channel of human intelligence, but only through the whole of mind. Not even through a single characteristic of mind. Not even that. When mind remains whole, it remains whole. And therefore, it's never split up into parts. And so it not even acts here, at this point, through one aspect of mind, but always through the whole of mind. You know, when you think this out quietly, just for yourself, and just contemplate it and stand in awe before it, then really you get a feel and a touch of something terrific big. Terrific big. That therefore you feel that the whole of mind is constantly at work as an instrument of the one mind, at work as the whole of mind operating right now, here and there, huh? And not just a little bit of it, not just one aspect of it, not just a little light of it, but the whole of mind is at work. And so you come to the third phase and you begin to realize that mind manifests itself as itself. as the whole of mind. Can you realize here again the bigness of that law? It therefore states that mind at this point, at this level of thought, does not manifest itself as single ideas of mind or as single experiences of mind. The whole outcome is always the whole of mind. You just can't split up that one mind. You just cannot split it up. And this is a point which for the human mind is not easy to conceive spiritually, because all our trainings over the last 2,000 years, or let's say at least over the last 400 years since the Renaissance, has been to divide the one into infinite parts. And we began to think that way. And that's how we were structured, atomistically structured. And we still suffer under that, that we always feel that if a source brings out something, that it is only a tiny little part. So the representation of mind as the outcome of mind is always the whole of mind. And you have a feeling that what mind is demonstrating here is the whole of mind and not just single aspects of mind. Not just the leadings of mind, or a correction of mind, or the enlightenment of mind, or the wisdom of mind. That's not the case here. Here we stay within the oneness and withinness of mind, and so see that mind manifests itself always as the whole of mind. And then you come to the fourth period, or phase, namely that it manifests itself to itself, or for the whole of mind. Therefore not, you see, then this rule of thumb is always helpful, therefore not for the purpose of helping mankind, of guiding mankind, of fulfilling our desires. Can you see? That would be an ulterior purpose, a purpose that would be outside the infinite embracedness of mind. So when one is trained into the atmosphere of thinking constantly just within the oneness of mind. You see, naturally, all progressive metaphysical groups and theories base themselves on the fact that there is but one mind. But they don't know what that one mind is, nor how that one mind operates. At once they begin to think about how that one mind operates, they always think the next moment as how it operates in my body, in my business, how to make more money, and so on. That's the next concept that comes in. Because they cannot stay with the one mind. The one mind does not know the desires of human mind, the wishes of the human mind, the aims and purposes of the human mind. And therefore, mind manifests itself only for one purpose, namely, for the purpose of bringing forth the one mind. And you get the feedback to the word, where you begin to see that now in this way, constantly, the one origin or the word is being fed with the feedback of science, with a still a greater power sense and the conceptual sense and law sense of the one mind. Yes. Or let's just, for the sake of getting used to the methodology of it, not for the sake that you take afterwards these notes and just think along the same way as I have been saying, because if I would now start again with mind, I would put it a bit otherwise. The main thing is that one can stick to the law. Say, we go out from spirit, and we have seen that spirit, for instance, is that which computes everything within the realm of spirit. You know, it's that where we begin, say, to see that spirit computes everything out of itself, out of the whole of spirit. Therefore, spirit does not compute and calculate according to our calculations. You know, even Jesus had already said, the Spirit blows where it listeth, really indicating that the human mind has not that calculating spirit which is positive and which could take the place of the calculus of spirit. That no human calculation is adequate enough to know how being should operate in our existence, in our life. And therefore we have to rely completely on the divine fact that there is one spirit, that one spirit computes infinitely out of the one spirit, and therefore not out of the spirit of man's mentality. You come to the second phase and you begin to see that spirit computes infinitely through the one spirit, through the infinite spirit. Therefore, that the only channel to calculate rightly is spirit itself. That spirit itself does the calculating and the computing. Nothing outside of the one spirit can really lead the flow of spirit into the right direction and order things. It's only the one spirit alone that bloweth. It's only the one spirit alone that computes through itself. And we just have to be in that receptive mood where we let the divine spirit through its own infinite computation compute that what spirit has in view. Or you come to the third phase of Christianity where you begin to realize that spirit, what is spirit? You know, that infinite reality, that infinite order, that infinite fundamental order of reality, that infinite rhythm of reality, that out of that infinite ordered rhythm of spirit of reality, the computation computes itself as the whole of spirit. It's always the whole of spirit that is computed. You have therefore a constant restructuring within the realm of reality. It isn't so actually that only here a part and there a piece is being computed newly. It's the whole of spirit that is constantly in the state of rhythm, of ordered rhythm, and therefore in that ordered rhythm, in the state of infinite calculating new ideas and new forms of spirit. Gives you a terrific sense of the rhythm of spirit. And therefore, it does not compute itself, as I said, as bringing about Here, right calculation, spiritual calculation. There, right calculation. But it's always as the whole of the truth of calculation. And actually, when you come to the fourth side, to science, you begin to realize that spirit has no ulterior purpose, no ulterior aim or goal, except to recompute itself constantly. So that spirit computes itself for itself, for this infinite rhythm of spirit. So that always a new calculation is being fed back to the input. And that is the reason why the infinite never repeats itself. Do I go too quickly? You make too many notes, actually, huh? Yes. Because what is necessary is just to get the methodology of it. That's all it's needed. Do you want to make another one? Yeah? Okay. Let's take soul. You know, the moment you say soul, it's a symbol. Every synonymous term is a symbol. And somehow we must be aware and careful that we don't get used just to talk in symbols, but that the symbols still have meaning. That the symbols have deep meaning. When I say soul, then I just see that infinite, self-existent, unchangeable identity of being, that great ego, that self-sameness which cannot change itself, which always is completely intact within itself, so that I get the sense of intactness of being, unchangeability of being, of untouchability of being, a wonderful sense really of the capacity of being, the capacity of soul, the withinness of soul. And so soul is just a super symbol for a whole tone that characterizes this spiritual state. So here I see that soul identifies all out of itself, out of the whole, clear-cut, distinct, definite sense of the unchangeable identity of being. And out of that, soul identifies itself infinitely. Therefore, there is no identification through our understanding of being, through our identification of things. There is no identification out of sense testimony, out of common sense, out of experience, out of routine. All that seems to be a source through which we can somehow identify a situation, a happening, something, somebody, etc. So instead that we give name, like Adam gave name to everything, instead that we identify and define things, and you know we do that a lot, we usually define what is right, what is wrong. We usually define what we should do and what we shouldn't do. We usually define what would be a successful life and what would not be a successful life. We define out of ourselves, really, what we want to attain and what we do not want to attain. You can see day in and day out how we define all sorts of things which are essential for one's life. And there we come to divine science, which says, let go of all that. The human sense of things has no place in that standpoint. The only standpoint is soul itself, and soul itself knows me as soul knows me. Actually here it is not even right, because here soul knows itself as soul knows itself. Huh? It's even a greater sense. But at least we feel here now I have to drop any standpoint of trying to identify anything and let now the one ego, the one self-sameness identify everything according to the self-same origin of being, the great ego of being, and therefore not out of the human sense of defining things. Actually, it needs a great sense of humility for us and trustfulness of us to let go and let just soul really outline what soul wants to achieve. You come to the second phase where you see that soul identifies itself through the medium of soul. Therefore, through the medium of soul sense, through the medium of spiritual understanding, of God's spiritual understanding of Himself. Therefore, not through our understanding. Never. Our understanding is never a medium through which soul operates or the Christ operates. Soul takes the whole channel of soul and identifies itself through the activities, through the operation of the Christ itself. And so I begin to have a wonderful sense that I just can let the Christ soul be active and achieve that purpose which soul has in view. And so the third phase shows us that soul identifies itself as itself, as the whole of soul. Therefore, not as what? What could it identify in the wrong way? We think that soul should identify, for instance, me. Or that soul should, for instance, identify itself as my destiny, as my mission, as what I have to do. This is too small. This is okay when we come to the level of absolute Christian Science and Christian Science, but here we are still on the level of divine science, where we see that soul identifies itself always as the whole stability of soul, the whole capacity of soul, the whole changelessness of soul, the whole symmetry of soul, the whole entity of soul. That's what is being brought out. It wants to identify itself that soul is actually everywhere soul. That everything, wherever we look at, there is always the whole stability of soul, the whole unchangeability of soul, the whole changelessness of soul, the whole capacity of soul, the whole withinness of soul. Then I get the touch of it. And fourth, you get the sense that soul identifies itself always for itself, for the whole of soul, never for a purpose ulterior to being. Can you say ulterior to being, outside being, with an ulterior purpose? Yes? Therefore, never with something that is smaller than soul. Therefore, never soul operates never just for the sake of identifying me with principle. Not even that. Not even for the sake of identifying my mission in the divine plan. It's too small. It's already individualized as an individual manifestation. Soul has a much bigger encompassing purpose, namely that it wants to bring out the whole of soul for the sake of bringing out the whole glory of soul. Capito? Shall I go on? Think of principle, that wonderful term, huh? That wonderful term, principle, in Christian Science. Where, in an ordinary metaphysical way, we usually look up to principle, submit ourselves to principle, obey principle, bend our knees to principle, look up to principle and hope that principle will come down to us and govern us and bring harmony to us. All that naturally is a metaphysical statement and does not apply here to that high altitude of divine science where there is just one principle. Just one principle. And that one principle really is the principle of all ideas, but these ideas are one with principle. And so, just try now to sit on the throne of principle and see what happens if we take the conscious mental attitude of principle and see how that law of principle operates.